This is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast, and we're having the most wonderful time hearing about Jesus yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
And how he led this young couple who gave their lives, dedicated lives to the Lord for service from teen years, and how supernaturally he led them. Now you need to go back and you need to begin to listen on May 21st to our Monday broadcast. You can do it at billybrim.org. You can go back and you can hear and catch up on all these broadcasts. Now, if you don't do internet, write to us and we'll put it on CD for you or figure out a way to get it to you so that you can hear the whole supernatural story. And I'm encouraging them, they must write a book because they're living now.
A book is being written.
The book is being written, and we'll tell you when it is. And you can get that book because just like my young grandson Brandon is sitting here, 23 years old, and God is leading him supernaturally, visions. He's had visions of Jesus. He's been translated. Actually, he hasn't told anyone, but he was even taken to heaven for a visit.
Amen.
And so he's so glad to hear from you, Johanna, that this isn't something that just happened yesterday, that this has been going on since Bible times.
Amen.
That
Amen.
God leads people even with visions and dreams. Mm-hmm. And so you have intrigued me with this story. Your eyes got wide when you thought about telling it. So will you tell this to us now? And you were in Brazzaville when this happened.
No, we were in between. We were in Dushavan. That is a small town between the harbor city and the capital city.
You were having communion.
Yeah. Of what this country?
Congo. In French Congo.
Congo,
yet.
Okay.
She Lillian was not sick at that time. And Jacques was always, people were wondering where we came because the communists were coming over and saying, what coming you to do? And are you going to start a hospital and what? And when she heard I was a nurse, if you're going to a hospital, and then one of my helpers asked me one day, can you give shots for my child? Well, we even didn't have medicine with us, and we say, well, come with your sick child and we will pray for your child. And when the child came, it was a paralyzed little girl of 2-3 years old. And
was she in a jungle town?
Yes.
And you had to go out to the...
Well, she came
they
to bring
her.
It.
They brought her from
and
the jungle.
And then when we saw the child and we saw the child that she was paralyzed, we said, well, Lord,
paralyzed in her body, she couldn't move?
Yes, all her arms and legs.
How old was she?
2-3 years old.
2 or 3 years old.
And she was, the mother held her and Jack prayed for her. Well, you cannot pray in 1 hour, and he had to say amen, and there was nothing happened. And then the mother said, is that all? Yes. We said, that's it. Believe Jesus is going to touch your child. She came, went with her child, and some days later, she came back and the child was walking, it was healed.
Oh,
and
praise
so it started
God.
In that village with a simple way of that. And Jack was going out also in the forest. But anyhow, one evening when we were there with a friend's brother who was there walking on the railroad station, and Brother Morel from Montpellier. And we were going on Sundays taking communion. And as we didn't want to be disturbed, we waited to take it in the evening when the children were in bed and it was a quiet time. And when we were taking the communion, we were sitting in the living room and you had to go in. The big doors were open and some steps you had to take to come in the living room. And I was sitting close to the door and, well, I've seen Jesus coming in while we were taking communion. I saw his feet, I saw his sandals, and I saw a part of his garment.
Robe, yeah.
And
it's just you in shock there?
With another French man.
Mm-hmm. And I saw him going by, and he didn't stop at my place. I said, doesn't matter, Lord, if you don't stop, anyhow, I've seen you. And he passed me. And he went behind Jack, and I saw he was blessing Jack because he had that big work to do in Congo. The Lord was blessing him at the time.
He stood behind Jack.
He stood behind him.
And blessed him.
So Then later...
Did Jacques see him?
I will tell you.
Okay.
Then later, when the brother, the friend's brother was going home, I said to Jacques, we were helping the children.
She's crying a little bit and laughing a little bit.
And then I said to Jacques, well, Jacques, I have to tell you something. I've seen something special. The Lord came to bless you. He said, what? Did you see that also?
Ah.
And he said, hey, and we have seen it at the same time. We have seen the Lord coming in. We have seen how he was walking. And we have and he knew it down also when the Lord was behind him. And he was blessing him.
So you both saw the same vision.
Yes.
The Lord granted it to you.
Yes, and I said to the Lord, Lord, I'm not jealous. He needs the blessing. But anyhow, I've seen you.
Uh-huh. And he blessed him, for the work was great.
For the work. We were still in the French Congo, but the Lord knew what was going. It went slowly. Mm-hmm. We started only with small people. Well, small people groups. 500 for us is not much. When he had the first meetings in the Congo, Kinshasa, his first meetings were house meetings from 500 in the garden.
When was this pastor's child, Marthe, healed? How was she healed? She was paralyzed, remember?
Yeah, it was during that same time.
Yeah, who prayed
this
for
her? This was another
her?
Child? Not the little two-year-old
so
child.
So there was
another child,
an elder from a Baptist church
church. Yes, and we are still in contact with them and with their children.
And he came over and he said that he had a sick child with paralyzed child, a little older than us, that needed healing.
Yeah.
When was she healed? How was she healed?
Yeah, well, at about the same time.
Yeah, when Papa came to Leopoldville at the time, it was Leopoldville instead of Kinshasa.
That was in Dirchavan, huh?
It was in Dirchavan that he came?
He was living there.
He was living there?
Yeah, he was he was also working at the railroad.
Okay, and his child was also healed?
Yes, yes.
Paralyzed?
Yeah. She was paralyzed?
Yeah.
I remember story, she was healed.
Yeah.
So the news was out about the healing?
The news was out. Yes.
The healing said that he was healing.
Yeah.
And then the call came from across the big, wide Congo River.
Right, yeah. And you have to understand that at that time, there were rebellion times.
Oh, yes, guerrilla warfare.
Yes, and political instability. And the French assemblies, when my parents said that they were called to go to the Belgian Congo, they said not to go.
You're talking about Assemblies of God.
The Assemblies of God of France, which is different from America. They said not to go because they're killing missionaries. In 1964, the fall of 1964, up north, they were missionaries.
When you were born.
No, it was in 1964. I checked the dates.
Oh, that was Muriel.
Yes, she was just born. In the fall of 1964, American missionaries from the Assemblies of God, John Tucker, was killed and thrown. His body was thrown into the crocodiles. It made news. They knew what was happening. They were, you know, killing the white colonialists that did terrible things for in the Congo, and they were against all white people. And that's the time my parents heard the call. They told them not to go. Do not go there. They're killing missionaries.
They were killing missionaries in the Belgian Congo.
In the Belgian Congo.
And you had the call to go there.
And my parents had the call. So my dad went to France.
Yes, we went in France and Muriel was born. And Muriel was born on the way in Belgium.
And he was troubled about
and
all
he
this.
Was,
he did not know what to do.
Well,
he has his young babies.
Mm-hmm. Well, more or less. And then he told that the Lord was calling us to Brazzaville, and there was a big opposition.
Kinshasa.
Yeah, of course. To Leopoldville at that time.
Leopoldville
at that time.
King Leopold from
Belgium
actually owned that Congo at one time.
Yes.
Yeah, and so there was a very much big opposition, and then Jacques and and Jacques, they had a day to wait about what we're going to do. And he called me. I was at
the board, mission board, was opposed for my parents to go. And my dad did not know what to do because they said, you cannot go.
Yes.
And then he called me. He was in France, in Le Havre, and I was still in the clinic with Muriel, our youngest daughter, who was just born. And he called me And he said, well, she don't want me to go, what shall we do? I said, doesn't matter. We, the Lord is calling us, said, the Lord is not calling them, let us go.
So and
he,
also
and he said, thank you. Mm-hmm. That's all what I needed. So the next day he went to that mission board and he said, we don't ask you the permission of going, we are going because the Lord is calling us. And then they voted, and there was several were against, but one brother said, why let them not go? They heard the calling, and see now what is going on in Leopoldville. Let them go. But as soon as we left, the secretary, the treasurer, stopped the support. Well, we didn't get much.
Stopped the support. You didn't get much anyway.
It was not much anyway.
There's another story that Papa, during the Havre conference at Le Havre, north of France, he got to drive Brother Salter and another British missionary,
Butler?
Brother Salter.
Butler.
And Butler.
Butler.
Yes. To the airport. They were British missionaries, Pentecostal missionaries in the south of Congo. And my dad shared with them his dilemma about the call and the mission board saying no. And he was really wanting to know, have some counsel. And they told my dad, which really hit me, they said, Jacques, we have prayed for that area years ago, that the message of Pentecost would go there. They said, go. We prepared it in prayer. And my parents have had amazing miracles, amazing, so many church planted there, so many campaigns, evangelical campaigns.
And with small means.
With small means, but it's because of the prayers that went ahead.
That's right, and they prepared it. And I know that you began and you had crusades, and you would have hundreds come to your crusades, and even a few thousand eventually. And then you call for Brother T.L. Osborne to come there. And he came.
We heard about the miracles, what happened. My brother was in the committee of the reception of Brother T.L. Osborne.
In Holland.
And so he said, if you want Brother T.L. Osborne, write him quickly. He has an opening.
And you wrote and he came to Kinshasa.
In 1968.
In 1968. But you started churches. And then those churches, I don't know how many you have now, but there came a large church. I want you to tell, there have been times of war, tribal warfare, between the Tutsis and
the Hutus.
The Hutus. Tutsis and the Hutus, gangs. And I want you to tell one story that Brother Jacques told me about when he was saved. They were trying to turn his car over. But many things have happened, and we'll be back here tomorrow and share with you miracles from the Congo and a little bit more about the work as it's going today. So praise the Lord. We'll see you tomorrow. This is Billy Brim, Johanna, and Lilian and Brandon saying shalom until tomorrow.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.